from the rugged desert outside Yuma, Arizona. This is Outpost Outspoken. Outpost Outspoken is the official podcast of U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground, which conducts natural environment testing of military equipment in Arizona, Alaska, and the tropics.
Welcome to Outpost Outspoken. Today, Chief Melvin Bullard joins me in the studio. He is the chief of the Airborne Test Force Soldiers at Yuma Test Center, which is located at U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground. Welcome and congratulations for being selected as the chief of ATF.
Thank you, Adam, for having me in.
What's your role as the chief?
My role as the chief of the Airborne Test Force is to conduct, analyze, assess, report, and manage airdrop activities for all developmental test experiments.
Let's talk a bit about ATF. For those who are not familiar with the force, what do they do at YTC for the Army?
The Airborne Test Force is responsible for all static line, military free fall, heavy drop cargo, and all maintenance of parachute systems across the YTC. We are responsible for maintaining those parachutes for all heavy drop loads, being able to get any equipment to the ground safe and sound, and personnel. The Airborne Test Force of Yuma Proving Ground is the number one developmental test facility and a multi-million dollar enterprise at YTC. We plan, conduct, assess, analyze, report, and manage airdrop support activities for all developmental tests, production tests, and integrated developmental or operational tests. We also provide premier training support to Army, Sister Services, Department of War, U.S. Government, and International Customer Services.
There's really no unit like ATF. Did you know about them beforehand? What made you select this occupational specialty?
I didn't know anything about the ATF upon my arrival. I came here back in 2018, and I was an enlisted soldier, E5. I grew up in ATF, so to say. It's a unique job. I found out about it from other service members who were here before, and they talked about how much they liked it and all the different things they were able to do while serving in the Airborne Test Force.
So a fun fact for our listeners, you served as the PAC Operations Non-Commissioned Officer in Charge back in 2018 to 2022. So you were here for 4 years. How did your career lead you back to Yuma?
My family and I loved Yuma when we got here. It was the heat for us that kept us around, not too fond of the cold climates. So when the opportunity presented itself for me to come back to the Airborne Test Force, I immediately said yes, because I was able to come back to something that I already done before and that I was accustomed to. And then to be able to go into a spot and make it better than what I found it is always the goal.
Is it common to return to a duty station twice?
It is not common to go to a duty station twice. The most you will see that is when you go back to a big Army unit like the 82nd or the 173rd. Coming back to the ATF is a unique opportunity.
How has your just knowledge and experience from the first time helped you out?
It's still a learning curve. I'm still learning and growing as I go. I'm learning from the people around me, learning from the team that I have over at the ATF, all of the seniors that we have. And continue to be a learner myself, a lifelong learner, a student to the game of what we do.
And you've been serving your country in the Army since 2013. Like you said, most of your experience, the majority of your experience is with airborne test operations. You left Germany for how long before coming back to Yuma?
I was in Germany for 3 years before coming back. Enjoyed every minute of it. Traveled a lot, 20 countries, 3 years. When I got the opportunity to come back to the ATF, it was, yes, let's do it.
That's amazing. 20 countries. What did your family say? Because you have twins and then an older son?
Yes.
And your wife. So what was their reaction when you're like, we're heading back to the heat?
Oh, they were ready. They didn't like Germany at first because of all the rain. It rained for about the first month that we were there. So they kind of hated me for taking them there, but eventually grew over time. And after getting out and exploring, we grew to like it a lot.
And you're all happy to be back now?
Yeah, we're all happy to be back.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much for stopping by the studio. And thank you for serving our country.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me.
Hello, I'm Mark Schauer. The YPG Chapel has been a perennial source of strength and solace to the Proving Ground soldiers and civilians. Recently arrived Chaplain Major Byron Denman is eager to continue this venerable tradition. Chaplain, it seems like unlike a lot of folks that come here, you actually have had experience with Yuma Proving Ground prior to being stationed here.
Yeah, that's right. So 20 years ago, I came down here for a few weeks in August when I was Specialist Denman, and I was taking a UAV course with some battle buddies from my unit at the time. It was an interesting experience. I didn't honestly know much about the base because I was young in the Army. And so I didn't know what to look for, but I didn't even know that there was a chaplain position out here for us. So
you grew up as an Army brat, you enlisted after 9/11, and you'd had a calling, but you spent many years in uniform before you were a chaplain.
When I initially enlisted, I understood that I was called into ministry, but my desire for service in the military didn't have ministry as an option at that time. My recruiter basically said, hey, chaplain's not going to work out for you right now. We need you to do something else. And so I became an Arabic linguist, and I really loved that job. It was a great job. But about 8.5 years into that job, my wife said to me, hey, I thought you were supposed to be a pastor. And everything changes. She's just the voice of wisdom in that instance, and just providing that little bit of a reminder to what I was called to do, which didn't necessarily have to be in the Army chaplaincy, just into the ministry. But as we started looking into where I believed that I was being groomed by God, we think that my Army experience, those 10 years and 7 days that I spent on the enlisted side, right, those years end up informing how I relate to soldiers. It gives me a perspective that I wouldn't have had if I'd have just come straight into the Army just to be a chaplain all the way back in 2004. It wouldn't have been an option for me because I wouldn't have grasped what it felt like to go from junior enlisted to NCO. I wouldn't have felt some of that struggle of going through the Iraq campaigns and watching friends suffer. And all of that really did prepare me, I think, for what I'm doing now. And I think that was probably how it was supposed to be, part of the plan, if I may.
I imagine that just serving in uniform alone gives you a very deep sense of satisfaction. But to combine ministry with it, that must be a whole different level.
Absolutely. My father, my uncles, both of my grandfathers, there's a long history of military service. And so I was raised kind of not with an expectation of joining the military, but with the idea that there's a lot of honor there. And this is how we provide the support for our country, which does so much to support us, whether that's through providing us a safe place to live or the work that we do to try to make sure that our environment, the world around us is safer. Our country, I think, does a lot for us. And my upbringing just kind of encouraged us to push into public service in that way. And when you take that and then you combine it with the idea of being called into ministry, I can't think of anything else that is or would ever be more fulfilling than that. I feel like not only am I honoring my parents and my country, but I'm also honoring my God. Man, that's a win.
YPG is the first time that you've been the only minister in uniform around. How are you going to go with that going forward?
Everywhere else I've ever been, there's been a team of chaplains who come together and provide the religious support. Whether we're talking about garrison chapel services or we're talking about an on-call duty phone where it's passed over from one chaplain to the next each week or every couple of weeks. Here, the on-call chaplain is always me, and the Protestant services are always me. And so that's kind of a throwback to what it is like to be a civilian pastor, just as far as like you are the point of contact for all of that need and all of that support. The great news is I'm not fully alone because I've got a couple of NCOs who work with me. Staff Sergeant Barrera and Sergeant Villa are really solid, and they are also part of this unit ministry team, this religious support office, which is much bigger than me. So yeah, I've got the responsibility on my own for preaching on Sundays, but I'm not doing anything else really on my own when it comes to serving the population here at YPG and the surrounding area.
The YPG Chapel's an epicenter of community life here on post at YPG, particularly during PCS season when new folks are coming in here. And you've seen some of the warmth already, I hear.
Oh yes, absolutely. It's been great. We were fortunate to come in the winter, or so I've been told, because the heat in the summer keeps people from coming outside quite as readily. But because we're here in winter, my boys are able to get outside and play with the neighborhood kids and develop some of those relationships in a way that is advantageous to our integration here on post. But also the fellowship that we've seen for my older daughter, as she's been able to engage with some of these high school kids that are in the neighborhood. It's not necessarily playing on the playground in the same way as my younger sons, but they will go. And a couple weeks back, they just sat outside and there was a conversation between three of these older kids just sitting outside in a shady spot. And that's a beautiful thing to see. But then also just as people, as opposed to being chaplain-denmen all the time, being able to encounter my neighbors and to receive the warmth and support that we've been shown. My wife had a flat tire the other day, and as they pulled off the side of the road to call me and try and get my support, one neighbor showed up and took the two younger boys home with her, brought her back onto post because they were all the way over there by 95. And then when I showed up and I'm working through the process, and I had given my wife our other car so that she could get all the way to the house, and I'm working through the process of getting the tire at least to roadworthy to get home, two other neighbors showed up to ask if I was okay. And that's not a common thing, especially considering that I've only really been here for 2 weeks and my wife's been here for about a month. She showed up a little bit before me for school purposes for the kids. But within a month, to have neighbors who are driving by who recognize your vehicle and they've already got enough of a connection with you to where they're stopping and they're trying to provide whatever help they can. That's an amazing thing. And I think that that's probably particular to Yuma because we've been a lot of other places and I've not quite seen that. I've even been at some smaller bases. Really grateful that that's available to my family.
Hey, Chaplain, it's really good visiting with you today. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to our time here at Yuma and providing whatever I can to the community.
This has been Outpost Outspoken. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next time from the forefront of Army transformation.